Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Okay, welcome to New Life Live. This is Larry Sonnenberg. I'm sitting in for Steve today. And I have Dr. Jill Hubbard to my right. Hi, Jill.
Hello, Larry.
And Mylan Yurkovic to my left. Hi, Mylan.
Larry, it's great to be with you and Jill.
Yeah.
I'm so glad.
I enjoy doing this with
fun.
You guys.
Yes, we do. We laugh a lot together.
We too. Yeah. We're the
In fact, we were laughing before we started.
That's correct.
But you know what? We have a good full board, and we want to get as many as we can.
Yes, we do.
Too, and we're
going to
start off right away. And we're going to go to Jane on line one. She's in Philadelphia, PA. She listens on our app. And that reminds me, if you're not aware about New Life having an app, go to the App Store, look for New Life Ministries, and there's our logo there with the brain in the middle of the tree. And you can listen to the program. You can. There's other things.
Quick finds.
Yeah,
really
real
easy.
Good stuff. So thanks for listening on our app, Jane. How can we help you?
Hi, guys. Thank you so much for taking my phone call. Okay, I've called you many times about my husband's sex addiction, and I did call you guys before about him trying to force me into a threesome, which brought back a past memory of sexual abuse, rape at 16, which I totally and completely forgot. I totally forgot about it, and it just popped in my head, and I was struggling a lot with it, and we were going to a marriage counselor, and I said, well, this thought came up. And the marriage counselor was like, well, you know, how many months has he done a weird sexual act? And I'm like, he's like, well, let's celebrate 3 months of sobriety. Long story short, because I know a lot of people are going to be calling. Okay. So I had an incident in December, and it just, my brain snapped. It was something that he did, and it just brought me back to being that little scared girl. Mm-hmm. And I'm seeing a trauma therapist right now.
Good.
So,
good.
And I had to take a leave of absence from my job. That's how bad it got.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Jane.
So it's okay. I'm trying to help myself. I had confronted him several times. The therapist told me, because I gave her specific details of what happened that night, and she said he raped you. Your husband raped you. You said no and no and no and no and to stop, and he did not. I confronted my husband on that. He said he's in total complete denial. I confronted him again last Sunday. I told him that, you know, I'm his wife. We're supposed to be friends. Like, you don't treat your wife this way. We have two little girls. Like, so he got upset. He left. He came back the next day. It was like, oh, I'm back home. He called me and was like, I love you. So this Wednesday, we went out to dinner. We took our kids out to dinner, and he said he admitted that he's been an a-hole to me, that I have stood by him this whole marriage, that he knows he's a jerk, and he knows he needs to make changes, and he knows that we're supposed to be friends first, and he knows he needs to change. So I just don't... I'm to the point where... all of this got me extremely depressed. I have two girls, so I'm trying to build myself back up mentally strong. I go up and down where I feel like, can I live like another 40 years so I can be there? Like, is this going to take my life and these traumas? So I'm trying to work really hard, and I don't want the same cycle to happen again, like for it to come up again. So what are some boundaries that I can, so I can... that he really is changing? What are some boundaries that I can put up? Because the therapist, because I wrote everything down for her that I've done, that he's done, and she's told me that he's, you know, sexually abused me our whole marriage, and because I've been abused as a child, like the common thread is abuse, and I don't minimize everything.
Jane, we have to go to a break, but we'll come back and talk to you more about this right after this.
Most of my life, I've been dealing with an opioid addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back. We're talking with Jane in Philadelphia, and Jane has had some real struggles and trauma. And Jane, first off, we're really sorry for what you have gone through and the pain that you're feeling. But let's see what we can do to help you. Who wants to take the lead here?
Well, I just want to commend you for getting into some help for yourself, Jane, and taking the time that you need. That investment in yourself it will pay off, and it will trickle down to your girls, and that's okay. Exactly what you want. So that's really important that you do this work because of how you're getting triggered, of who you picked. You know, I think your husband, you know, coming back to you and having an attitude of,
that
you know,
that
is good. So there's a little bit of humility there, but it's also not uncommon of people that are abusive
right.
to want to apologize because they do feel, some do feel a sense of shame. So
but we've got to trust their behavior, not just their words.
Exactly. It's in the behavior, not the words. But when he is, you know, saying he's willing to try, this is the time to require things of him. And
Perfect. They
aren't just boundaries, because we're not just trying to curb his behavior. We're trying to get to a heart change, a heart transformation. He's
okay.
got to be able to see things differently and see his own, you know, woundedness and how he's playing that out in his relationships. So, you know, this is one of the reasons we developed Every Man's Battle workshop, which is a good springboard for a man like him to get in touch with his hurt and shame and abuse, and for that to be a springboard into doing more work himself. So at the very least, I would require that if you guys are going to continue, he needs to go to one of our workshops.
Okay, and if he refuses to go, what consequences should I say, we can't stay married, like I don't want to make a threat, but how should I go about setting down?
Well, I would say, well, then I'm really confused, because I thought you said you were willing to work on this, and this is more, you know, and I would say that, you know, while I love the words you're saying, I need to see behavior to back it up, because I don't think any of us can change on our own. And so, to me, that's a minimal requirement, is that he start with EMB. And so, I would almost put it back in his lap. Well, then I'm really confused. I guess you're not really willing to fight for this marriage.
I'll also tell you that at Every Man's Battle, each month, there are men who come who are coming only because their wife said, if you don't go, we're done. And they don't want to be there, and they're angry when they get there. And they're going to check off this box and go. And on Sunday, they're different. So it's you are going to have to make that final decision, but there are people that do it. And maybe it doesn't always work, but still it might be the right thing for you to do.
Right, but him going to every man's battle, him being involved in his own therapy process, he needs to go through a period of time just like you are, exploring, you know, what's led him to this point today, and what are the things that he's acting out that he hasn't talked about.
Marlon, you're like E.F. Hutton.
Yeah, I know.
When you speak, you listen.
I'm sorry.
Oh, he was talking to me, Jane. Jane, are you at all suicidal?
Sometimes. I go up and down. I go, you know, because it's a lot. It's a heavy burden to carry this every day.
It is.
And my friends are concerned. You know, they're like, oh, what happens when he does something else? But he says he's changing. And then my one, you know, I have one guy friend that I confide in. We're just friends. And I told him what happened, and he's like, I can't believe you're calling him your husband if he raped you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I can't believe you're still calling. And that, like, woke me up, and I'm just like,
you just can't believe his words. He's got
right.
to do something.
So yeah. I'm concerned about your safety, because if you are staying with him, then you're subjecting yourself to, like Jill alluded to a little while ago, this cyclical mm-hmm. abuse and trauma cycle where
mm-hmm.
It just happens over and over again. Mm-hmm. They'll admit, they'll confess, they'll be humble, they'll apologize, and then tension builds up and they start to do it again, you know, some sort of a forced. And so I also heard that you said, I don't want to threaten, or you were hesitant to say, well, that sounds threatening. And victims have a very hard time with threats, because it's just not in their vocal cords to threaten anybody. They're the ones that have been threatened their whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so for you to develop an adult voice, and I would talk to an attorney, and there's a solution other than a divorce, which is called a separation, which says, I'm going to create a separation from you to make it very clear that I require all of the things that Larry and Jill have indicated that need to happen. You have to get very serious about this. And the other thing, Jane...
Well, can I just interject real
yes?
quick on what you were saying about a threat? You were asking Jane about boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a threat. It's a boundary.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Which
okay.
is to draw a line in the sand,
mm-hmm.
which is what God exactly does with mm-hmm. the gospel. He says, I love you, mm-hmm. but I can't have a relationship with you until you allow me to repair this relationship through the death of Christ, but you have to accept it. Otherwise, we remain separated. So this is very much the character of God. But I would also have to say, Jane, your husband has to come to a place where he accepts Christ and lives as though there is a God that is bigger than him and has instruction for his life that he must learn to obey.
And the power to help him.
And the power to help him. Because
okay.
otherwise he's just going to do what the world in his mm-hmm. own mind tells him what
right.
to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, seeking pleasure.
Yeah.
And separation, like yeah. you said, is not it's not final. It's not a bad thing.
It's a warm boundary
right.
that mm-hmm. says, I love you, but this isn't going to happen anymore. I have to take care of myself.
Yeah. And there's something that has to happen before the separation
well,
ends.
And this is a man that needs some boundaries. He feels out of control. This is rape is power and control.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Like you said... someone mentioned saying that, you know, the tension builds up. Is that why, like, things like this, like, happen, like, every 6 months? Is that, because, you know, I was telling the therapist, I said, you know, something, it'll lie quiet for a long time, and every morning he'll tell me that he loves me, and he, like this morning, he's like, I love you, and he'll kiss the girls and say, I love you, and he'll help me get them ready for school, and, like, he does really nice things like that, and then all of a sudden, like a darkness comes out. Like a mm-hmm. month will go by, and then this darkness comes out.
Mm-hmm. Yep. There's a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde here, and
right.
We need to realize that needs to be. I love your observation, and that has to be really pointed out. And he needs
Absolutely.
To get some.
You
help.
Have history now.
Yeah.
You can see the patterns. And that even though he means well in between, at a certain point, that tension is building.
And Jill, the husband doesn't see the patterns.
No, he doesn't. And that's what she's got to say.
That's right.
I've been through this cycle
right.
enough
right.
to know that we can't do this on our own.
Right, right.
Okay, Jane, I'm so sorry again for what you're going through. We'd like to send you something.
Worthy of her trust?
Oh, that'd be great for you.
As well as take your life back, mm-hmm. I think, because it tells her, for her and
yes.
for him,
for
take
him
worthy of her trust. But also, I think it's very important that we make sure that Jane knows she should tell her therapist that yeah. she's feeling or cycles through suicidal ideation
yes,
and
yes.
feelings.
Mylon, that's really
so that
important.
Somebody takes care of her and
good.
Somebody knows this is going mm-hmm. on in her life. We don't want to leave her alone out there.
Good. Thank you. That's good.
Yeah.
Okay. Before we go to another caller, if you can support New Life with a gift this month, we'll send you Henry Cloud's book, The Power of the Other. And it's to help you get a sense of your effect on other people, other people's effect on you, at home, work, business, whatever. And your gift will help people. That's the bottom line. Let's go to Tonya. Tonya is listening on line 5, I think. Yep. Fort Hood, Texas, listens on KBBW. Hello, Tonya.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Thanks for holding.
Thank you. I called into the show once before and spoke to someone on the phone. They recommended I call back.
Okay.
But I'm just in a period of I've had a complicated life and I have complicated health history. And like at this moment right now, I just feel like I'm kind of barely holding on. Mm-hmm. Since 2017, we had 5 deaths in our family. I had to resign my position because of a incident with a student. I taught 12 years at the school, high school, and it put me in litigation. I had to get an attorney to negotiate my contract, an attorney to for the criminal charge. The charge was dropped, but I still have an arrest. So I now have a third attorney that to handle the getting arrest expunged. I have a college degree, but currently I can't find anything, and I'm broke. I don't have any money. I just feel like I'm at zero in every account, like spiritually, physically, financially.
Mm.
Wow.
I've always known that God wanted to use me. I've always been different, and I have no greater desire than to be working for God, but right now, I don't see how this is just doing it.
Hmm. So sorry, Tonya. So sorry. You know, I'm going to let these two speak to the tougher part, but my encouragement to you is that there is not a situation in life that God doesn't want to redeem and restore. And I believe that for you. I don't know how, but I believe that for you. And I also believe that his rate of redemption is quicker than the rate in which we fall into the struggles we've fallen into.
Mm-hmm.
So there is hope
right?
for you. There is hope for you. So hang
Even
on to
that. Even if you can't see it in the valley of the shadow of death, right?
So more
You're
practically
really
speaking, what can you suggest for Tonya?
But it's been really dark. I mean, I had major depression. I took pills and had to be hospitalized.
I'm so sorry.
People don't understand. They tell me, I just want to be like this. And I tell them, no, it's like, just like your heart is sick, your brain gets sick.
Yeah, right. That's right.
You're absolutely right. It takes over. I mean, you've had so many devastating losses. I mean, the deaths alone, that many, but then to have your whole livelihood, everything that you have
and
worked
reputation.
For, and reputation, all of that taken away from you. That's above and beyond, really.
Right.
So it does make sense. Who are you connected with? Who is part of your healing community so that when you're feeling desperate, you have people to go to?
Well, I have a social worker I see. It's just been one, you know, like you said, God hand in everything.
Mm-hmm.
I lost my health coverage, and like I said, I have complicated health, and I've still been able to see the people I need to see. I have, like, really bad pain, but I see a therapist.
Good.
And
I go to a group, and I have a social worker that helps me with the medication. It's just, you know, the outside and, like, people that you care about when they say certain things, mm-hmm. it just makes you question everything because I'm trying to allow myself to be okay with the fact that, like, right now is right now. Mm-hmm. And right now, like, I may need to take a nap. Well, right now I may not need to work. Or right now, you know, I may have to ask you to help me because mm-hmm. I've always been everybody else's backup. And now I need some backup. And I just feel like
people aren't used to that.
It's not there.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you've always been the backup, then you have a lot of relationships that are oriented that way. People that are used to receiving from you instead of giving to you.
I liked how Tanya said that I have to ask for mm-hmm. things now, or mm-hmm. I can ask people, you know, that I need to take a break, take a nap, or I can ask for things. And that's one of the hardest things to excuse me to do in life. If you've been the perpetual giver, is to start asking and seeking help.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Tanya, we'll be right back after this break, and then we'll talk to you just a little bit more. Can you hang on?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good.
On Friday night, we got into an argument, and I sit in the car outside for 2 hours. I knew what the right thing to do was to go.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C. June 28th to the 30th.
You know, I know this stuff, but it's so hard to do. Mm-hmm. I hear it, I read it, and I'm always getting in my own way. I'm always expecting my wife to go first.
Join Steve Arterburn.
We believe that everybody has room to grow in the intimacy level of their life.
And Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship. And then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
And New Life's group leaders will help you focus on the area that will benefit your marriage most. To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com.
My biggest takeaway was to just get out of my way and go first.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, we're back talking to Tanya and Jill.
Yeah. Tanya, I think something that's really important, when you've switched from being the one that's always there from others mm-hmm. to having to be on the receiving end, it's important to realize that not everybody is going to be able to be with you in your darkest times. And I really believe that God brings the people along that are supposed to walk a journey with you at any given time. And at different times, it may be different people, but He draws in people that are available and willing. And so you have to be praying for that. And the ones that can't do it for whatever reason, it's like, that's okay. That's okay. You're sorting out who are the people that are going to be your current community. Some people, even historical friends, you know, you may really care about them. They may really care about you. But for whatever reason, they can't be with you in this journey now. And so to be, you know, instead of feeling that as rejection, to see, okay, they're not available. I need to find people who are here, who can be with me, who can do the long suffering. Mm-hmm. And often that isn't a lot, but to have a core group is enough.
Yeah, I love that, Jill, to have a group of people that I can draw from, you know, over as various needs arise. But then she was asking the question, where's God in all this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the thought that I share a lot in my office is Psalm 23, where it says, if I'm in the valley of the shadow of death, mm-hmm. and this is really important, the wording here, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And the key is that sometimes we stay in that valley for a while, but God's with us even there.
Mm-hmm.
His presence comforts us even, and he doesn't necessarily take us out of it.
Yeah, that's the thing. We think that if he's not there because he's not taking us out of it.
Exactly. Yeah. And but he says mm-hmm. somehow he comforts me in that dark place.
Yeah.
He doesn't throw, you know, a rope ladder down and a helicopter to retrieve
right.
me. He says, I'll comfort you down there.
Mm-hmm.
And to learn to stay there and seek his comfort in that moment of grief, place of grief.
And not get stuck asking why.
Because, right. yeah. because he's there.
Right.
Yeah.
And life is very hard. This is a cruel, difficult, evil world to live
yes.
in until we're ultimately redeemed and brought into heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of Christians aren't prepared. A lot of people, humans, aren't prepared to ask, what is the nature of this world?
Right.
It's a tough place to live.
And when we're in that really dark place, I think it really, if you can hold on to that, Mylan, it strengthens our relationship to the Lord, because where else can we go? It's like there's no vice that will suffice, right?
Well, that's
it's
a great
like
point.
That's all we have, and sometimes we need to be taken back to that point.
I'd like to send Honesty Healing as a Choice, I think, as a book for help.
So, to Tanya?
Tanya.
Tanya.
Honesty is the next call I want to take. I'm sorry.
To Tanya. We'll send her Healing as a Choice.
Yeah.
Okay.
And thank you for calling. We're so sorry for what mm-hmm. you've been through. But
I'm glad that you have people around you,
yeah.
you know, a treatment team around mm-hmm. you, because that's really important, too, to have that community
Kay
as well.
Kay and I were just discussing Job this morning. And see, he was in a very, very dark place.
Oh my goodness.
He lost everything.
Yeah.
Right.
And
this is Tonya. She's lost everything.
She has. And yet God did not abandon him. God knew everything that was going on and was right next to him.
And the restoration was so big.
Ultimately restored him.
Yeah.
And when we hurt Larry, we can't necessarily count and bank on the restoration as being the thing to encourage me today.
Right.
Because we don't know what it's going to be.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
What we have to do is we have to place ourselves at the mercy of the Lord and say, I know you see me, I am in your hand, mm-hmm. and I'll trust you in this dark place. Help me learn to trust you here, not just in the glorious
right.
places.
And it's often moment by moment.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
We're just getting through this hour.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go and speak with Honesty in Washington, D.C. Listens on WAVA. Hello. How can
Hello.
We help you?
Hi. Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes, I would like to know what do I say to friends who are telling me that my way is not working? I have never practiced sex outside of marriage. I grew up knowing that sex is only inside of marriage, and I have been listening to you, and I go with what you are saying. But I'm getting weaker and weaker when I have friends who are secretly making fun of me that my way is not working. I'm divorced twice, and now I'm like, do I have to get married again a third time in order to be intimate, or after two failed marriages, I have a green light to just try, to just do it outside of marriage, because I tried twice inside of marriage, it didn't work out. And at this point, I'm really confused, because I, for friends, they are giving me example. Like, I have a friend who's telling me that he has another friend who, they were friends for a long time. They waited until marriage, and on the wedding night, they realized that they were not compatible. Their private part, it was just not possible to do it. So it would have been better for them to do it before they realize that they are not compatible and avoid the divorce and keep the friendship when they are actually still friends at the moment.
Okay,
so
we're gonna be coming up on a break, but I just have to jump in and say that friend's advice was not good advice.
Mm-hmm.
You don't.
They're resigning.
Scripturally and spiritually, as a follower of Christ, you don't have permission to have sex outside of marriage. But we want to talk to you in more detail and give you more insight into that. And we can do that when we come back from the break. I want to thank folks for listening. I want to encourage folks that we need Club New Life support on regular monthly giving. If you could sign up for that, you'll get benefit and so will people who are hurting. We'll be right back to finish this call.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
Last year, after every man's battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, we're back, and we're talking with Honesty in Washington, D.C., and Honesty has been married a couple of times, and the marriages have failed, and she's thinking it might be better just to not marry and go ahead and have sex with guys. And
all of her friends who are justifying their own relationships and inability to wait or say no, as so many Christians are in that boat, and so they find ways to justify it. Mm-hmm. I've known people that even, you know, twist scripture to say, well, it's okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, so I think it's really important that our listeners and this woman from D.C. named Honesty, that she really understand that sex is one small percentage-wise, small aspect of relationship.
Yeah,
intimacy.
In marriage,
in
right?
Marriage.
Outside of marriage, people blow it up to be everything.
Correct. That's a nice point there, Jill. But it's not about compatibility. She talked about two other people they discovered on their wedding night they weren't compatible. Mm-hmm. Well, if a person is a virgin, which she said, I was a virgin before I got married, then what that means is sexually we're inexperienced. So it takes time to become good sexual partners when trust, emotional safety, and respect is built, and we can learn as a couple.
Right.
And I think that's the way we really have to understand. You, if you had all the experience in the world with, you know, hundreds of partners, does not mean you're going to make a great spouse.
Right.
At all. And so the correlation of how Honesty is thinking here, I wouldn't say as a solid correlation. She needs to develop friendships and learn how to have emotional and relational intimacy first. Mm-hmm.
And sex should be a reflection of how strong your emotional connection is, right?
Right.
And that's why, you know, outside of marriage, when people start being physically intimate, their emotional intimacy growth stops.
It does.
Right? Because they're just focused on the sexuality and not the emotional growth that they need to be the foundation of a relationship.
As long as here's how guys think. As long as we're having sex, I don't need to get to know you further.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's how guys think.
Yep. Women don't realize that.
No. They get suckered right into it.
If they give them their bodies, then they're going to want to be with them, and they'll get all the other goodies, and then they're so disappointed.
As soon as you give a guy the cookies,
he's not hungry. Nothing else matters.
Yeah.
What book would you recommend for honesty?
The Bible.
Well, we can do that. We're going to send her the Restoration Bible.
Good.
Okay. I like that.
Yeah.
Okay, Honesty, thank you for calling. I hope we've given you an honest answer.
That was a great call from Honesty, and I really thank you for that because you bring up a very important point. Larry?
Okay. Let's go to Martha. Martha is calling from San Francisco, listens on KFAX. Hi, Martha. Thanks for holding. How can we help you? Martha?
If you've got your radio on, we need you to turn that off.
Martha?
We'll give you, okay, we'll come back and
we'll
try again.
We'll come back to Martha.
Okay, let's go to Bill in Dallas, Texas. Bill listens on a podcast. Bill, how can we help you?
I was calling about, my main question is, how can we help our daughter? And she's 24. We're pretty confident that she's been sleeping around. She lived with a boyfriend for a couple of years. We think that it's probably out of control. There is some history in my wife's past with similar activities. I'm the stepfather, but I've had her, we've been married for just about 20 years, and so I've been with her most of her life since she was 4 or 5. I don't know what other, I mean, I can give you a lot more detail, but I don't know what else you would need.
Is she living at home with you guys?
She's going to school right now, and she's about to finish up, but she's been away from home on a regular basis for probably 5 or 6 years going to school.
Now, when you say, let me ask you a question. You said she was sleeping around, but you also said for a period of time she was living with her boyfriend. Were you guys concerned about her living with her boyfriend as much as you are with whatever sleeping around is? And did you express that to her?
Yes. My answer to that would be yes. I'm a little more concerned. I'm concerned about her sleeping with her boyfriend. But I'm concerned even more so about if she's just going from person to person. And just because of all the different diseases and different things.
Sure.
I mean, there's a lot more to it than that. But neither one of us is comfortable with her sleeping with her boyfriend either. And my wife's two biggest don'ts in life are don't shack up and don't lie to me. So it's really eating away at her, and then occasionally she'll come home and spend a weekend. And the last several weeks ago, she spent a weekend here, but she didn't come home at night, and we have not imposed any curfew or anything on her. But we're just not sure what's the best way to help her. I know my wife has confronted her on some things. And that tends to strain the relationship, and there has been some relationship problems, partially due to that, but partially just due to, I think my daughter looks at my wife as a little bit over controlling. So you
have a daughter that's in these in between, like she's legally an adult, but until a kid is completely self-supporting, they really aren't 100% of an adult, and they're enjoying the benefits of what parents offer. So that's on the one hand, because she's still in school, so I'm assuming, and maybe I'm wrong, that you're helping her in some way. The fact
okay,
that
we
would...
were we were helping her in school up until this past year, and it's been a financial issue for us why we didn't help her. My wife was of the mindset that we ought to cut her off on the school and not fund her on the school, and mm-hmm. we disagreed on that, but okay. we did continue to help her. So right now she's actually supporting herself. The only thing we're providing right now is a vehicle and a cell phone. That's the only thing we're financially providing for at this point.
Okay. Okay. And okay, so those are benefits. I mean, she's 24. You no longer get to dictate her choices. Unfortunately, you do get to express as her parents your opinion for what it's worth. And when she's living in your home or staying in your home, you do get to require certain courtesies just like you would of any guest. You know, if people are staying with me and they're staying out late, I want to know when they're coming home so we can lock the doors and turn out the lights, you know, just common courtesies. It's not okay to be staying somewhere and to not show up and to not call. And so I think that's something that you can ask of her, that no matter how much maybe you won't like the answer you get, you still need the common courtesy of I'll be home or I won't be home. And then you can choose. If that's not okay with you, then you can say, you know, it's probably better that you don't stay at home.
But there's a heart issue here.
Yes.
So, Bill, the promiscuous female is longing for male attention. And so tell me about her father. You married her mother since she was 4 years old, 4 or 5. So what's her relationship with her own father? Where's he?
Okay. He's geographically he's a number of states away, but she has another sister too. And her other sister, we believe, and even from an outside source, that he was trying to groom the older sister. And we had, when my wife and I moved away from where her biological father is, and when we did that, we had to go through the courts, and they had a person come out or assess the situation. And basically what she said was that he was ignoring the younger daughter, the daughter that I'm calling about. And there's still behavior to this day where he tends to not even see her there. And to give you an example, she could even be visiting him and he wouldn't even know it's her birthday.
Okay, so we have a break that we have to go to. We have and we will be right back. But Bill, I want you to know this is where the heart of the problem is.
Yep.
Right here. Larry, you said a heart issue. And
that's what we want to solve.
Okay, that's why I'm talking about it. So
hold on, we'll be right back.
She said, we need to talk. She's asked me for the first time if I would consider myself a sex addict. You know, I thought it was just about admitting the things that I had done wrong. I never had a clue that it was about redeeming our story. You know, I thought it was just about coming clean on what I had done. I had no idea how to help her with her pain. She was a mess, I was a mess, and we got divorced. Going to EMB, surrounding myself with these other men, they accepted me for who I was and what I had done, but they challenged me to step up and do better. You know, they'll be around other men who are not just pointing the finger, but willing to get in and wade through it with them, you know, get in the trenches. They'll get hope from this workshop. Take my sweet wife and my story. We were divorced, remarried, and on our way to what I think will be the sweetest years of our lives. You know, it's no longer simply about surviving. For the first time ever, you know, we're thriving, we're enjoying where we're at.
Hey, listen, if you're struggling, we want to see you at the workshop. Give us a call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Every time we try to talk, it just turns into a fight. I am so tired of arguing.
I don't understand. God, why did you take him from me?
I don't want my kids to think of me as the angry dad. Why can't I control my temper?
like he's more like my roommate than my husband. How did we become this distant?
I hate looking in the mirror. No matter what I try, nothing seems to work.
I just feel like my world is spinning out of control.
I feel so broken. Could God ever heal me?
Is it ever going to get better?
I feel like I'm drowning.
When will I learn to just breathe again?
It doesn't have to be this way. 48 hours can change your life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, we are back. We're talking to Bill. He has a stepdaughter who he's been in relationship with for over 20 years, and she's sleeping around, and he's concerned about that, as is her mother. And Mylon, you had some things, and I think Jill did too.
Well, Bill, first of all, I am so sorry that your family is having to deal with this stress. This is not easy to deal with, and I just want to acknowledge and validate how hard it would be as the highly invested stepdad to be in this position. But as I was saying earlier, if her father has ignored her and does not see her, you know, birthdays, and she's the ignored child, and I don't quite know what you meant, and I don't need an explanation right now about what you meant, how he was grooming, quote-unquote, the older daughter. I don't know quite what that meant. But the bottom line is I would take my daughter, I would ask her permission, and I would take her, you and your wife, into a therapist office. And I would offer to give her and for the three of you to discuss with a therapist what abandonment and ignoring by a dad does to a little girl. She's longing to be seen by men. She's excited if somebody looks her way.
And she's then trying to get their approval
through sex. Yeah.
And so even though, Bill, that you've been there and been a good influence, there's still that original wound and the constant reminder because of that she still sees her dad.
Yeah.
Right? And those incidents where he treats her differently than the other one. So she's constantly being rewounded. And so this is where, you know, we're talking about, okay, what do you have control over initially? And, you know, then switching to, you can't really control behavior, but you go after the heart and you pursue them at a heart level and a feeling level that says, I know you're an adult, you can make your own choices even if we disagree, but here's what we think is going on beneath all of that. And that's where our concern is, to get at that so that you're making choices out of a healthy place instead of a wounded place.
Bill, thank you. We'll be praying that you could have that kind of discussion and get to counseling with her. I think that'd be very valuable.
I want to say one more thing here, this is for the entire listening audience. If there was a call in particular that you resonated with you, you can always go online, go to the date of the show, and you can rehear those calls.
Perfect.
I have recommended to people many times that they share this call with someone they're concerned about.
Yeah.
That they say, would you please sit down with me and listen to, I called a radio show.
I was so concerned.
Because I was so concerned about you. I want you to hear their answers. That's another way to go about that.
I love that. Okay. Let's go to Joe. Where is Joe? He's at line 5. Okay. Joe, we've just got a few minutes, but we thought we'd like to get your call. So tell us how we can help you.
Okay, I had a question about separation. How long does a couple have to be separated before one person just says, you know, maybe this ain't meant to be, because me and my wife have separated going on 2 years, and it wasn't a separation. I just up and left. It was an economic reason. And I, you know, told everybody in the family, my wife, my children, hey, I'm getting us a place. I moved out of state, got a 3-bedroom apartment. Come find out nobody wanted to come, which I discussed it before we left. And my son eventually did stay with me for maybe a few months. And make a long story short, My wife came visit one time, never came back. Oh, yeah, I'll visit. Then I moved out to a two-bedroom, then eventually a one-bedroom. And so she's staying with our kids and the grandkids in the brother's house. And that was the house I was staying in. I kept on trying to reconcile them and, you know, send her money and trying to reconcile. And every time I ask her, you come visit? Yeah, I'm going to come visit. She never comes visit. And I keep asking, do you want to reconcile her? I even, you know, say, hey, you get a divorce. No, I want no divorce. Why don't you want to reconcile? Yeah, I want to that's what I'm trying to tell you. I said, look, I really want to reconcile. I don't want to live like this indefinitely, basically.
Okay, we get the picture. We just got a few minutes.
And I assume you're going back to visit, correct?
Yeah, I go back Christmas, Thanksgiving, you know, the whole nine.
Okay, well, that's not very often, Joe, to have a marriage. And so it sounds like maybe there were other things going on before you left for a job, and that really your wife wasn't on board. So I think, you know, really maybe, you know, taking the time to meet with her and say, you know, really expressing how much you want this marriage, you want a relationship with her, and that you realize maybe, you know, you're not hearing what she truly wants. And for you guys to make some decisions, because it doesn't sound like it's working out to be living separately if you're going to continue.
Yeah, the issue is more than visiting. It's what's the state of our marriage?
Yeah, what's
and
happening
let's
here?
Let's really solve this. Let's get to a marriage intensive. Let's get to a place where we are really looking at the basic issues here. What mm-hmm. do we have? She's living with a brother with maybe grown kids and also grandkids. And so she's maybe a happy person.
Yeah.
She's got her whole family around her.
Her life is good.
Yeah. And so.
And you're sending money.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I thought, too. And one correct, she's staying in the brother's house because he rented a house to us.
Okay.
And he basically, she feels comfortable. And I asked that the other day. I said, you feel comfortable with what you're doing? I said, because I don't. She said, well, no, not really. I said, well, seem like it to me.
Well, absolutely, and you're really right, Joe, to ask mm-hmm. the question. And
yeah.
I know we're running to the end of our show here, but it's really important that you really ask your wife and go sit with her face-to-face. Don't do this on the phone. What are we going to do about our marriage for the second half of our lives? How do we want to go about this? I want to be closer friends. I want to have friendship together. I want to be together. I want to have a relationship where we're enjoying one another. And so that has to be talked through, and maybe a marriage
counselor. Well, and maybe a little romancing of her. You know, you both have kind of gotten complacent where you're just kind of like relatives.
Mm-hmm.
You're not really missing each other.
If you're going to be together, somebody's going to have to say, okay, I'll come your way.
Yeah.
You're thinking it has to be her. She is probably thinking it needs to be you. And that's something you're going to mm-hmm. have to, you're going to have to really seriously look at that issue.
That's a good point,
Larry. Like, is the job worth it?
Right.
Because you're kind of choosing the job
over
your marriage at this point.
And I appreciate how hard you're working and you're trying to provide for everybody. I love that, Joe. But it's all about balances, and that's all we're trying to do here.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and that's understandable.
Well, it is.
I was trying to explain to her that I didn't like the lifestyle of living hand to mouth.
Sure. Yeah,
of course not.
No,
that's an issue that needs to be part of the whole discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love that he's trying to, Joe, that you're trying to develop your life and strengthen it. But
Joe, you might do what Mylan suggested with our last caller and ask your wife to listen to this mm-hmm. program and let her hear that you're so concerned about your marriage, you even called a radio program that you know gives good help. And so thanks for your call. We're going to send you the 7-Minute Marriage Solution Bible. And that's got a lot of things for couples and for husbands and wives each. And take a look at that and see if that might help you guys when you get back together, help you get back together. You know, at New Life, we just want to help you. If you are struggling with whatever, anger, fear, grief, depression, marital issues, kid issues, whatever you're dealing with, call us, 800-NEW-LIFE, 800-639-5433, and let us find a resource, a workshop, a counselor, some way of helping you. Thank you for listening. We love you. We love what you do. And if you can, thanks for your support. God bless you.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.